you're very welcome this evening. And I'm just going to pray for God's word before we look at it this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you please to open our eyes to behold wonderful things from out of your word. And open our ears, Father, to hear what you're saying to us, please. Lord, we're not about stripping away people's arguments for not becoming Christians just for the sake of doing it. We're using your word to speak forth your truth so that people can see that the excuses they're making are lies from the devil. We pray that your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord God, would bless those that have gathered here in this hall. Bless those, Lord God, who will be watching on Facebook and listening to the podcast. And we ask Almighty God in Jesus' name that your word, Lord God, would be carried from this place by the power of your Spirit, and that you would minister to people, Lord God, in that power, bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We ask this in your glorious name. Amen. Last week, Keith spoke on our no Jesus or no Jesus, what's your excuse? And he spoke on the excuse, I have my own beliefs. It's amazing when you go around doors or you're talking to people on the streets or wherever and you say to them, I'm a Christian, what about you? Oh, I have my own beliefs. Other words, don't want to know, stay well clear, don't talk to me about Jesus. They don't want to know because they're under pressure straight away. And so it's, I have my own beliefs, is like, stay away, stay clear. And it actually showed how many people make this excuse for not becoming a Christian. And this is what Keith was driving home last week. They make this excuse for not becoming a Christian because they have bought into a religion, or bought into religion rather than into a right relationship with God. And there are many, many religions in the world, and there are many religious people. But there is only one true Christianity, and there's only one way to become a Christian, and that is through faith in Jesus. There is no other way. Anybody says to you they became a Christian by some other means, they're a liar, or they're lying to themselves, or they're being deceived by the evil one. There is only one way to become a Christian, and that is through faith in Jesus. Religion cannot save people. Doesn't matter how religious you are, religion cannot save people, but it can utterly destroy them. You know, the German philosopher Karl Marx is often quoted as having said, religion is the opium of the people. I've heard that many times. I've seen it even written up in graffiti on the side of church buildings and stuff. Religion is the opium of the people. However, if you look into what Karl Marx actually did say, the full citation is this: religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people. I have to say, I actually think Karl Marx sums up religion brilliantly. The sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, and the soul of soulless conditions. It is the opium of the people. You see, that's what religion does to people. It oppresses them. Religion is heartless. It is utterly soulless. And people get addicted to religion as easily as people get addicted to opium. But the true essence of Christianity is much more than religion or a set of laws or values or beliefs and creeds. Christianity is primarily about a relationship with a loving God who sent his son Jesus to die for our sin so that we can be reconciled to God and enjoy him. Like Billy said, oh, I really enjoyed that song. I really enjoyed that. Would you be free from your burden of sin? You know, before he became a Christian, he wouldn't have really enjoyed that song. And neither would most of us, because because you see, it would have just been them religious nutcases. Yeah. singing them stupid songs. But how many of us get excited when we're singing praises and worship to the Lord? Why? Because we know Jesus. And as I say in Shiloh, and I hope till the day that I die, I'm going to be able to say that for us Christians, we've got something to sing about, whereas the unbeliever doesn't. So they can't get excited about Jesus, and they can't get excited about God, because they're dead to God. The true essence of Christianity is much more than religion. Much more than a set of laws or valued beliefs and creeds of whether women should wear a hat or whether they should speak in church and all that nonsense. Christianity is primarily, fundamentally, about a relationship with a loving God. If your beliefs tonight, and I'm asking you to question your beliefs. I'm not asking you to believe your beliefs. I'm asking you tonight to question your beliefs. If your beliefs are nothing more than a religion, which, by the way, cannot save you, then I have my own beliefs, as Keith was saying last week, is a poor excuse for not becoming a Christian. Okay, so the excuse that I'm looking at tonight is, and this is another cracker, anybody who's involved in evangelism at any time, you'll hear this excuse all the time. I've too much to lose. I've too much to lose. Now, this excuse doesn't necessarily come to you when you go to the door to talk to people about Jesus. They don't come out necessarily and say, I've too much to lose. They dress it up in different language. And the different language usually comes in this form. I don't want to become a Christian because it means I'm going to have to give up this, or I'm going to have to give up that. Or it'll be, I don't want to become a Christian because my family, friends, my work colleagues, they will reject me, or they'll think differently of me. Or the third statement dressed up for I've too much to lose is, I don't want to become a Christian because I actually like how I live, and I don't want to change my lifestyle. But here's the point. Those whose excuse for not becoming a Christian, those who say, I've too much to lose, actually underestimate the great value and worth of their immortal soul. Those who make the excuse, I've too much to lose. Now listen to this tonight. If you're one of these people who makes the excuse or dresses it up in that other language that I've just spoken, whoever makes this excuse, I've too much to lose, are guilty before Almighty God of trampling underfoot the sacrifice of Jesus. I'm going to read tonight from Mark's Gospel in chapter 8. Reading from verses 34 to 38. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, starting at verse 34. As Jesus is speaking, and when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me. Do you notice the whoever here? That means whoever in Bangor, whoever in Northern Ireland, whoever in Outer Mongolia, whoever in darkest Africa, whoever, wherever, whoever desires to come after me, let him or her deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life or her life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. For what will it profit a man? What will it profit a woman if they gain the whole world, if they get everything that they ever wanted and more in life, but lose their soul? Or what will a person give in exchange for their soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. In 2018, and you might find this hard to believe, in 2018, around the world, followers of Jesus are persecuted, killed, imprisoned, discriminated against, and treated contemptuously for no other reason except that they are Christians. Do you know that 80% of the persecution that happens in this world is against Christians? We hear terrible things going on in other countries, and it's against Muslims and different sects and whatever else. 80% of the persecution in this world is against Christians, those who have faith in Jesus. And many Christians are not prepared to deny Jesus is their Lord and Savior, and therefore suffer because of their faith. They don't seek, as God's word says, they don't seek to save their own lives, but would rather lose them for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. This is what Jesus means to Christians. This is what Jesus should mean to every Christian sitting in this hall tonight, to every Christian watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast. This is what Jesus should mean for us, that we too should be prepared to lose our lives for Jesus' sake and for the gospel if we were called to do so. But I wonder, Christian, what would you do? I told the story about the wee gathering of Christians in a hut in Russia, and some guys burst in through the doors with semi-automatic rifles, fired shots up into the ceiling, and told anyone who's not a Christian, get out. People scarpered out the door, nearly clambering out through the windows to get away. And the born-again Christians who knew and loved Jesus, who stayed there, stayed. And the men put down their weapons and said, we want what you've got. I wonder if the doors of Shiloh Christian Fellowship was to open up tonight like Darkley Hall, where gunmen came in and started shooting. I wonder how many of us would suddenly question, do we really know Jesus at all? And given the opportunity, would we flee out the door and deny Jesus? But you know what? That may never happen. But I wonder, do you think about this? When Christians can't be bothered their backsides coming to church, and I'm not talking about those who are sick, I'm talking about Christians who don't bother their backside coming to church, do you realize it's actually a denial of Jesus? Oh, I would give everything for you, Jesus. I would lay down my life for you, Jesus, but not during Coronation Street. Not while the World Cup's on, Jesus. And yet Jesus says, whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. But let's look at what the people who make the excuse, I've too much to lose, actually think they're going to lose. Right, so they say, oh, I've got too much to lose. But let's look at them for a moment at what they think they're going to lose. I don't want to become a Christian because I'll have to give up this or I'll have to give up that. Seriously. Seriously. What do you do? Not that I want to know, but what do you do or what do you have that you seriously think is of more value than your soul? What shall it profit you, Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, everything that you want in life, if you gain the whole world, what shall it profit you if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? In Luke chapter 12, 16 to 20, Jesus tells the story of a rich farmer who had everything he needed and more. In fact, he had to build larger barns to store all of his produce. And once he got all of the produce in, the man thought that he really had it made in life and that he could now relax, that he could enjoy life, he could eat, drink, and be merry. However, God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. then whose will those things be that you have provided? And Jesus shows there are those people who think living is all about gathering wealth. It's all about enjoying life. It's all about storing up riches for retirement. And yet he shows us that this is futile to live like this because we do not know the hour of our death. Now, I'm not saying people shouldn't have a pension. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be putting a few shillings away for a rainy day. But if that's what your life revolves around, that you're trying to get as much as you possibly can as you head towards retirement so that you'll be totally comfortable life, you can put up your feet, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. If that's what you're living for, you've got it wrong. And that's what Jesus is showing. Jesus tells us this man was a fool because he invested in this life only, to the detriment of his soul. I don't want to become a Christian because I'll have to give up this or that. Seriously, I'll say it again. What do you do, or what do you have that you think is of more value than your soul? Are you a fool tonight because you think the things of this life are more important than the eternal matters? Are you investing in this life only? Well, I can tell you, Mr. or Mrs., I've too much to lose. If you're investing in this life only, it's a very poor investment, and it has a very bad return. Oh, I don't want to become a Christian because my family, my friends, my work colleagues will reject me, or they'll think differently of me. Do you honestly believe that your family, your friends, or your work colleagues, what they think about you is more important than your soul's salvation? Do you really think you'll give a toss what anybody thinks if you are lying on your deathbed and you're coming close to your last breath? Do you seriously think what any member of your family thinks, what any of your friends think, what any of your work colleagues think, what anybody else thinks? Do you think for one moment you're going to think, oh, what do they think of me? There is nothing that is more important than making sure you know where you're going when you're entering into eternity. Listen to Jesus on this matter about worried what my family, my friends, or my work colleagues might think. He doesn't mince his words. He says this, if anyone, same as the whoever, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, it cannot be my disciple. He's not mincing his words. You're worried about what you think your family and your friends or your work colleagues might think. Listen to what Jesus says. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what Jesus is actually saying here is, whoever comes to him must put him first, above all, not their family, not their friends, and not their work colleagues or reputation. Jesus must come first. In Matthew 10, Jesus puts it this way, whoever loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What he's saying here is, Jesus must come first. Do you know why? Because there is no other way that your soul can be saved. Your family can't save your soul. Just because your family go to church isn't going to buy you any credit in heaven. I can't remember just recently somebody thought, you know, because they knew me, that was a chance of them getting into heaven. Flip. I'm about getting in the skin of my teeth. I don't think anybody's getting into my reputation. But do you understand? People actually think that they might get in because a member of their family is saved. Or if you're stupid enough to believe the teachings of some of the Catholic doctrine that says that if you're a priest or there's a priest in your family, that the Virgin Mary herself will come out of heaven down into purgatory and get you out because you shouldn't be there. Or if, as I said there a few weeks ago, the Pope himself put it out and said to his own faithful people, if any of you come down to see me in the south of Ireland, I'll reduce your time in purgatory. And I thought, maybe just to hedge my bets, I'll go down and see him myself. Like that's going to happen. But this is a big sacrifice that Jesus is saying. He's saying this, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following me must come first. But the reward is eternal. Those who make the excuse, I've too much to lose, are not prepared to make that sacrifice and follow Jesus. For them, it's just too high a price. And that's what they're really saying to God. I'm not prepared to make the sacrifice. It's too high a price for me. I don't want to be a Christian because I like how I live and don't want to change my lifestyle. Well, let me tell you, life is transient. And the pleasures of this world or of sin are fleeting. Very soon, and especially if you speak to old people, because I'm not at that stage yet, but very soon, those things you value will no longer satisfy, or they will be gone. Is how you live and the way you live more important than God's plan for your life? And God's plan for you involves saving you from sin and its consequences. There is a cost to be paid by those who make the excuse. Please listen to me tonight when I tell you this. There is a cost to be paid by those who make the excuse, I've too much to lose. You know, I listened during the week to an old gospel song, which we will not be singing in Shiloh, but I did listen to this old gospel song. I knew it from some years ago, and it's called Have You Counted the Cost? There's a line, it says. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost, and you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throng. But have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own? Even now, it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Mr. or Mrs., I've too much to lose. Are the people or things that you consider precious in life more important to you than your soul's salvation? If you're investing in this life only, it's a poor investment. After everything that He has done for you, dying to pay the price for your sin so you could be reconciled to God, is it too much of a sacrifice for you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus? Is it too high a price, too costly for you? Well, what if God was to say to you, tonight, your soul is required of you? Seriously? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a terrible excuse people give. I have too much to lose. When they put family, friends, work colleagues, reputation, careers, anything else, Lord God, above their soul's salvation. When people invest in this life only, and they make no provision for eternity. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, help people to see their soul's value. Help them to see that there is, Lord, indeed, a heaven to be gained, hell to be shunned. And may people, Lord, please throw away this excuse of too much to lose and be prepared to pay the sacrifice, to take up their cross, denying themselves and follow Jesus, that their soul might be saved. For Lord, even in this life, your ways are the very best ways. And whatever may befall those who believe in you, those who trust in you, we know, Lord God, that no matter what may befall us, even if we are persecuted to the point of death for faith in Jesus, you have said, whoever loses their life for my sake or that of the Gospels will save it. But whoever seeks to save their life will lose it. Lord, we remember the words of Jim Elliot, who said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. May your word speak into our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.